today is whether to continue this unannounced and really non-existent non-bombing of the North. And we have a recommendation from Westmoreland. I haven't yet seen the text. He'd like to go back into business there. On the other hand, we are getting whatever political advantage there is in being very evidently not the first to start up again. I'm about to go into a meeting with Alexis Johnson and Cy Vance.
Yes, one, I'd like to know Westmoreland's views thoroughly, and if he's got a cable on, put it on the wire and let me see him. I don't see enough of their attitude to get a feel of it.
And we've had very little from them.
So when he, let's watch the Westmoreland messages of any consequence and get them to me. The second thing, I would like to know from Rusk if he has any feelers out anywhere.
He has a feeler out. Friday afternoon and said what happened in the south would depend on what the Viet Cong did, but that he could tell the Hungarians there would be nothing in the north for a day or so. That was now 2.5 days ago.
I wouldn't object to going a day or two if
there's any money in it.
If well, if you could use your imagination and get two or three others going, it wouldn't hurt. If you could get Wilson to do something with somebody, or if you could get the Poles to do something.
I could do it. For example, Tommy could call Debrina's attention to this and say that
if there's any hope of anybody even using it, we don't want to hear anybody saying, well, we want another pause. But if there's any hope that anybody making any use of this, we'd like to know it without making a commitment. And I don't know who to get to talk to, but I guess somebody, Wilson, we need that court of public opinion a little bit, and he always likes to get into it, and
yeah.
Canada too, and maybe the polls where you'd be in a position 48 hours from now to say to them, now we notified all these folks, and we then after we waited 2.5 days, we told him again that if there's any reason why we could go a little longer, and if there's anybody at work, we'll do it. But if it's just allowing them to mount a new offensive and to murder a people, well, we got to defend ourselves.
There's one other reason that may make it useful to go a little longer. It's pretty clear that you're going to get the first major recommendation you're going to get on the new RT series next week. It's going to be
Well, I'm strong for that, but I don't know when to do that when we've got 45 ships in the harbor there and can't get them unloaded. And
this is all being staffed out as to what our own defensive position against the Chrysler would be and all that. But in any event, it's a loud noise.
I want to ask some general that wants me to go into the port. What the hell is going to do when somebody drops a hand grenade or a firecracker on those 45 ships that are lined up in that port, been there 45 days and nobody touching them?
Right.
I talked to a friend of mine this morning, just back from out there, and he said it's the most disgraceful, unthinkable situation you could believe. He says that you've got to get some port facilities somewhere, and they got to bring some of these old barges in from the Gulf Coast or something. Unload them and let them haul them in that way, because he said that this is, they just can't get the material. He says they're supposed to be building 10 airfields there, the size of the Corpus Christi one down here, and they can't get any cement, they can't get anything in there, they can't get supplies, and said one goddamn little single motor plane drop over and drop a hand grenade, and it'd take them 6 months to get the damn ship out. And he said, if we don't get them unloaded, he said the people work like hell there. But they just don't have any port facilities, and we've either got to find some new port facilities or we've got to find some new methods, and we haven't done either for 45 days. And he's a practical, tough, able operator, and he says your Mars Knudsen outfit fell down on the job and didn't have the personnel, and I don't want to get them involved, but it sounds to me like we need some real industrial expediters out there that that are coming in with some imaginative.
We have Tex Thornton just getting back this week. He went out about a month ago with the industry's been. He should have an up-to-date account. I don't know if he's particularly important in advance. He's been doing practically nothing else but reports. I'll try and get you an up-to-date account of that from the
government. I don't think you ought to quote me to them, but I think you ought to say that you're seeing reports here about port cloggings, and let's see what the remedies we have and what solutions before we decide whether we're going to bomb anybody or not. I don't want to get the worst end of it.
Right.
And I don't know whether the general thinks he's damned easy to go tackle a teacher, but when he turns around and they tackle him, I don't know what he's going to be prepared to do.
Yeah.
How's he going to defend himself in this one port we got? Then I think I would try to talk to Rusk. Is he there?
Yes, he is.
I would try to talk to him and get he and Tommy in your office or go over there, and they all try to think about three or four things that you could do, and let's evaluate whether signaling them and taking 48 hours is worth it or not. And if not, well, then we'll go to Westmoreland. If it is, well, then we'll decide it. And let's talk 3 or 4 hours from now.
Be back at you at any particular time, more convenient.
No, you just call me, and I may be 30 minutes from here any time, but we'll work on it as soon as you do.
All right, sir.
And I think that the damn networks are just running people crazy with it. Every 30 minutes, they stories that we're not bombing, and the Air Force says they don't know why they're not bombing, and Washington won't let them bomb, and I just wish that damn bunch of military people keep their mouth shut.
Yep.
But have you been hearing the Air Force's mouth?
I've seen
Air Force announcements out of Saigon is we don't know why we're not bombing. We ought to be bombing. They've stopped us.
Yeah. And,
is Lodge back yet?
No, sir. He wasn't when I last saw him. He's supposed to be back there tomorrow.
Okay. Well, wait just a second. Let me see if there's anything here. Have you gone over my message to the head of the Philippines?
Yeah, I'm not satisfied with it, and they're having a meeting, Humphrey and Rusk, right now to review the question of what might be asked out there. The question really is whether Humphrey ought to put how hard he ought to put it to him orally. Your message doesn't say anything, but Vietnam is very important, and Humphrey will talk to you about it. And we had a contingent agreement from Macapagal for about 2,200 men in a construction battalion. They have a legislative problem, the exact shape of which isn't as clear to me as it ought to be. And the question really is whether Humphrey might not simply say to him privately, look, we're going to need fighting men from the Philippines, but I'm not here to break up your inauguration by giving you an ultimatum. But this is the thing that matters most to us. The Philippines, he's got a mess. He's got empty coffers and sugar problems.
I think if you discuss Vietnam with Humphrey in any way, that he'd be in every column in America in the morning.
Yeah.
I've cautioned the boy 7 times, and this morning every paper down here is full of all the trades he's going to propose and what all he's going to do. And I think it would be a mistake to try to tell this man that just as he's... I'd treat him just like I treated Wilson when he came in, that I wouldn't be coming out there to tell him that he's got to win our war for us. I'd get him out there and I'd brag on him and say he's the greatest guy in the world and we've all got interest out there. And then when I got him away, I'd have somebody tell him, let Bill Blair take a letter in and say, now, you told us, the Filipinos told us that you'd come to our rescue after the elections, and here it is. I would love for Humphrey to do this when he learned, but he just cannot learn. He just does not know. I saw Richard Wilson's had a lengthy interview with him today, and 2 or 3 more, and he is giving out interviews now that he is really on top of the world situation because he saw some Japanese newspaper man, and that his image against Bobby Kennedy is not as bad as they say, and he's very defensive, and he's a fool. I told him if he quit worrying about his own goddamn image and go to worrying about the world a little bit and get these hirelings away from him, well, we'll take care of his image.
All he has to do is cut a little mustard in the private.
That's right. But so I don't think it's wise to have him go out and make any proposition to anybody about anything. And I think Rusk ought to say to him that we haven't reached any conclusions. on what they ought to do, that the best thing he ought to do is just say that Vietnam is important to that area of the world, and if we get licked there, we don't know how they'll stand up.
But not actually proposition.
Not a damn thing. When you ask him how many troops we want, say that's a matter you better talk to our ambassador about.
Right.
I'm not here to mess into your inauguration. Because Norman Cousins along with him, and God knows what come out of it. But I do think that we ought to have the Paws boys and the Bobbies and the Teddies and everybody else now that's got any ideas. Let's just have them and let's feel them out and let's see if the New York Times, who's been the bat daddy of the Paws, if they've got any suggestions.
They don't like it because we haven't announced it.
Well, if they tell us who the hell's interested in it, we might announce it then. Just tell them. If we can get anybody that's interested in it. The Russians are not interested in it. Well, if they tell us who the hell's interested in it, we might announce it then.
Okay.
Just tell them.
Right.
If we can get anybody that's interested in it. The Russians are not interested in it. And I don't know who the hell. The Chinese don't seem to be interested in it. And Hanoi is not interested.
Yeah.
Much of a truce. I don't think there's anybody interested in it except Johnny Oakes. And he doesn't have any troops. But I think you might say to him, we've gone 2 or 3 days and we're willing to go for 2 or 3 months if anybody can show us anybody's interest. But we've contacted everybody. Now, if y'all got better sources, if Scotty's got a better source than we have, we'd like to have him. And I would certainly explore it with Gronowski a little bit, let him make some pitch to somebody, and maybe the Canadians, let them make a pitch, and just to take care of their Nobel Peace Prize people, and maybe Wilson.
Well, if we're going to do that, we'd have to sort of decide now to wait another 2 or 3 days to give them another turnaround time, and that's what we need to look at the consequences of, and how bad that is for Westie, so forth, so forth. We'll get that sorted out.
What is this bombing in North Vietnam? Why is that bad on him, if you wait
morale,
for him?
Morale, Mr. President. They're just scared to death that we're not fighting the war hard enough. It's like these Marines that shoot the same thing. Jesus Christ, Washington's trying to have it both ways, fight the war and have a truce. You can't do it. And there you can't. Bob is absolutely right that whether we do or don't for a week has no more, make no more impression than a spoonful of sugar in a bath. But they don't feel that way, and it's feelings involved. I better get the messages, though, and see what his arguments are, and get them down to
you. And then see what you could do. I don't think we'd necessarily have to wait 48 hours. I think if we had Gronowski say to the proper people, or if we said to Wilson, now, can you ask somebody, or maybe the French, you ask anybody if this is going to mean anything if we delay any longer and get back to us. They'd get back to us. It wouldn't, I'd think, wouldn't you?
Well, they could sure do it in 2 days. I don't know if they could do it in 1.
Okay.